I ask you all to take your Bibles and read the scriptures and stand for that word of prayer. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and the verse number 6. Just one verse of scripture, but it ties into the message that we're trying to bring to the boys and girls and the mums and dads even today. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse number 6. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." But without faith it is impossible to please him. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. We'll ask the Lord for his help, and that he'll even come today and speak to us through his precious word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come here today. We acknowledge, O God, that we come now to the most important part of the whole lesson, and it is the wonderful word of God. And Father, I pray that for everyone here today, that they might leave not just having heard the words of the speaker or the preacher, but more importantly, they would have heard the words of God. They would realize that they need the Lord Jesus Christ if they are to be saved, that he's the only one that has been provided that is able to take away our sins. And we pray, Lord, for the messages both this morning and tonight, that they would be clear, and yet that they would come with the power of the Holy Ghost, that you would speak to every heart. And Lord, I pray that many souls would even come to know you today as their own and personal Savior. Amen. Amen. Boys and girls, I have something with me here. Does anybody know what this is? Does anybody have an idea what this is? Shout it out there. What is it? It's a map. Yes. Now, as I brought out this map, I thought to myself, most of the boys and girls probably don't know what this is or even what this looks like. But back in the olden days, you used to have a map. And the purpose of a map was whenever you wanted to know how to get to a certain place, you would take out the map, you would find out where you are, then you would look at the place where you wanted to go, and the map would tell you how to get there. But you could imagine if I was going out one day for a trip, and I didn't know how to get to my destination, and there was a map sitting right in front of me, wouldn't it be very silly if I just took the map, and I just set the map to the side? And I says, you know what? I don't know how to get to my destination, and I know that map can tell me how to get there, but I'm just, forget the map. I'll try it myself. Maybe some of you men in here are thinking, yes, I've tried that before. Don't need a map. But wouldn't that be very silly, boys and girls? It would be very stupid. But you know, people do that with God's word. You see, God's word tells us the way that we can have our sins forgiven. It tells us how we can get to that place where we have peace and we have friendship with God. And yet instead of people taking the Bible and reading it and searching it and trying to find how they can have peace and forgiveness with God, people close the Bible. They take the Bible and they just set the Bible off to the side. But you know, the Bible tells us something very important. It's really what I want to speak about both this morning and tonight. The Bible tells us that there is only one way that we can be forgiven. There is only one way, whether you're a boy or girl, or young person, or mom and dad, that you can have your sins removed. And this morning and tonight, we're going to look at two different men, one in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. And these men both give us an example that there is only one way that we can have our sins forgiven. So we're going to stick that up there. Hopefully it doesn't fall. There we go. Now, the man we're going to learn about tonight is a man, it did fall, boy's a dear. I said to myself, I hope Alan hasn't polished this pulpit, because if he has, it won't stick to it. So, Alan, you can take credit, you've definitely polished the pulpit. But the man that we're going to, I'll just leave it. I'll set it up there. I'll get a drill or something for tonight. But the man we're going to learn about today was a man called Naaman. Now, Naaman, he was a very, very important man, but I want you to try and guess what type of job that Naaman had. And I have a wee clue here. What would Naaman have needed these for? What type of job would he have had? Yes, Abby? He was a soldier, but not just was he any soldier in the army. Naaman was actually the captain of the army. And so Naaman, he would have went out in front of all the other soldiers, and he would have led them in the battle, and he was a brave man. He was a strong man, and he had proved himself in fighting. But you know, there's something wrong, because Naaman fought against the wrong people. Naaman fought against the children of Israel. He fought against God's people. And Naaman was from the country of Syria. And the Syrians used to come under Naaman's command. They would come down past the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, and they would fight against them. And then they would take people captive. But you know, Naaman had a big problem. Even though he was well off, even though he was the captain of the army, Naaman had the problem of leprosy. The problem of leprosy. And leprosy was a terrible, terrible disease. Because it would start off just not that bad at all. The person would lose their eyebrows, they would lose their eyelashes. But then they would start to get all these scabs over their skin. And eventually it got to the point where they couldn't touch or they couldn't feel anything. And the person would then die. And I'm sure when the day that Naaman, he discovered, I've got leprosy, he probably ran to whatever makeshift first aid box that he had, and he opened it up and he thought, well, what can I do or what can I take to get rid of this leprosy? And he looked, well, that ointment, it's not going to do, or those bandages, they're not going to do, and this here cream and these plasters, they're not going to do. You see, back in Naaman's day, there was nothing that could heal you of leprosy. And really, you could say that Naaman was a dead man walking. Life was practically over. There was no way that he could be healed of that disease. But you know, Naaman had an even greater problem. And it's a problem that every single person in this room has today. It's not the problem of perhaps a physical sickness, but we all have that spiritual sickness called sin. See, the Bible reminds us, for all have sinned. That word all simply means all. Young to the old. To the boys and girls, to the mums and dads and the grannies and grandas and all the people that have come. Every single one of us have that problem of sin. And sin starts off in the heart. Starts off in the heart. And before you know it, sin evades and sin goes into every part of the life. Now we have learned at children's meeting this year, boys and girls, what sin was. Now don't let me down here, but you all remember the actions. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. I think you should do it a wee bit better than that. Really impress the mums and dads, all right? Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. Yes. And every single one of us have thought something, said something, or done something that have broken God's law. But one day Naaman got his army together. He got his sword. He got his shield. It's probably a wee bit more realistic than the sword and shield I have here. But he got the sword and shield and he went out on his horse and he went down to the land of Israel and he fought again against the children of Israel. And he captured a slave. He captured a slave. It wasn't a very big slave. It was just a wee little girl. A wee little maid. Now, could you imagine how awful that would be? You're sitting in your home, perhaps you're eating your dinner, your breakfast, your mummy, your daddy. You're happy, you're safe, you're in your home. And then the army comes. And before you know it, the army's at your door. You've been captured. And something happens to you. The soldiers bring out something like this here. They bring out these chains. Could you imagine being a wee little girl, perhaps only even 8 years old, and they would wrap these chains around your hands, around your feet, and you would have to walk hundreds and hundreds of miles to another country without your mum and dad, without your family, all by yourself. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? Wouldn't like to be wrapped up in that shame. But that's what happened, this little maid. And you know, whenever she went to Naaman's house, she had work to do. Naaman brought her into the house and she was his servant. And she had to go here and do this and do that. And her life had just completely changed. Whereas she was at home with her mum and dad, so very happy. Now she had to What do you do with this here? You wash the dishes, don't you? You wash the dishes with some fairy liquid. What else would you have had to have done? What about this? You would have had to have dusted the house, yes. And then what would you have had to have done with this here? She had to sweep the floors up as well. And she'd have been so busy every single day. Now, hands up. I tell the truth. Who likes doing the chores around their house? Only a couple of people. Joel, you like it too. Very good. That's great. You're going to go home tomorrow and you're going to have to brush the yard now because you put your hands up. But wouldn't it be awful having to get up every single morning? Separated from your mum and dad in a different country, having been chained up, having to work for someone. And yet, this little girl didn't get angry. This little maid, she didn't even get annoyed. But rather, whenever she saw that Naaman had this sickness of leprosy, she thought to herself, I know there's someone who can heal Naaman of his sickness. And so she went to Naaman's wife and she says, listen, there's a prophet. There's a man who tells God's word. His name is called Elisha. And if you go back to my country, if Naaman could only go and get him, well, do you know what? Naaman could be healed of his leprosy. Now, you imagine Naaman hearing that news. There was a possibility that someone could heal him. Well, Naaman set straight off in his chariot. And he first of all, he went to the king of Syria. And he said to the king, let me go. Let me go to Israel. Because there's a man there that can heal me. Whenever I thought about Naaman, I thought about the rush that he would have been in. I thought about maybe the hope and the excitement that he would have had. And yet, whenever people hear God's word being preached, and they hear about the forgiveness of sins that they can receive through Jesus Christ, there's not that same excitement. There's people at home today, and they know that they're sinners. They know they need forgiven. But there's no excitement to get to Jesus Christ. There's no excitement to come and hear God's word being preached. And so, Naaman, he went to the king of Syria, and he said, listen, let me go. And the king of Syria gave him something. He gave him a letter. And on this letter, it gave Naaman permission to go and to find Elisha. So Naaman, he took the letter, and he then went to the king of Israel, and he took the letter in before the king. And you can see him opening up the big letter, the big scroll. Does anybody know what language that was in? Take a guess, yes, Matthew? What? It's not Chinese. Epi? Hebrew? Yes. And now here's the test. We're going to get Mr. McKee up to see if he can read this Hebrew. But I know he wouldn't want to show off his talent in the ancient writings. And so I'll read it out instead. But it's only because I've memorized the verse. And so he would have took the letter and he would have read it out to all the people there. And he said, I have sent Naaman my servant that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And the king of Israel, he heard the letter being read. And he began to panic. He thought to himself, oh no, oh no, oh no. Because the king has only sent Naaman here to me. It's all a trick. He's going to eventually trick me. And the king of Israel began to get scared. But the king of Israel knew of a man. He knew of a man that could heal Naaman of his leprosy. And so he sent them to Elisha. He sent them to Elisha. And there Naaman gets on his chariot again. And he heads down to Elisha. Elisha said to the king, send Naaman down here and I'm going to tell him the word of the Lord for him. Now what would you do if someone important came to your house? I know what my wife does whenever somebody is coming around. She cleans the living room. That's the place where people are going to be. And then she cleans all the other rooms where nobody's going to be but us. But she goes into all the places that the people won't see and she cleans everywhere, top to bottom. I see a lot of you men smiling. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But Elisha, he never invited Naaman into his home. Rather, Elisha just sent out his servant. Just sent out a servant. And he says, listen, go you and tell Naaman that this is what God has to say to him. If Naaman goes to the river Jordan and he washes himself 7 times, his leprosy will be cleansed. Now you would think Naaman has just been told that there's a way that his leprosy can be taken away. Do you think he would be happy? Yes. Well, actually, he was angry. He was very angry. We're going to do something here. After the count of two, I want all the boys and girls to put on their angry faces, okay? All right, after two, one, two. No, you don't have angry faces. These are all good boys and girls, that's why. But Naaman got so angry. And he said, I thought that Elisha would have come out of the house, and I thought that he would have called upon God, and my leprosy would have been healed. But he's sending me to a dirty old river. He's sending me to the River Jordan. Sure, there's at least three or four other rivers that are better than Jordan. They're cleaner. They're nicer water. But he sends me to the dirty old River Jordan. You see, Elisha was testing something in Naaman. He was testing Naaman's faith. His faith. His faith to see if he really believed in God. Because that verse that we read earlier on, what did it say? Without faith, it is impossible to please him or to please God. And if we are to be saved, if we are to have our sins forgiven, God says we have to believe, have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will be saved. You see, Elisha didn't tell him any other way that he could be healed of his leprosy. He only told him of the one way that God had said. And God has told us that we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ if we are to be saved. And boys and girls, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. If you're to have your sins forgiven, your sins taken away, you have to believe in Jesus Christ and believe that he died for your sin and that he's able to take it away. But not just is it a message for the boys and girls, it's a message for everybody here. Message for everyone. Mums and dads, grannies and grandas, and all the friends. If we are to be saved, we have to believe in Jesus Christ. And so Elisha, he tested his faith. I also had blue tack in that one to stick it up, but I have learned I'll just leave it up there in case that one falls over as well. So Naaman was angry. He said, I'm going to leave. But his servants came and said, listen, just go with it anyway. You've nothing really to lose here. Go and do what the prophet has said. And so that's exactly what Naaman did. Naaman went to the River Jordan, and he went down in once and back up. He went in the second time and up the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, got right up to the sixth time, and he still was covered in leprosy. But in the seventh time, exactly as God had said, his leprosy was cleansed. He was healed. And you can imagine the great joy and the gladness that Naaman had when he realized that disease that was going to kill him, that disease that was going to absolutely ruin him, was gone. But you know, there's something greater that we can receive today, and it's God's salvation. We can receive the forgiveness of our sins. Our sins can be cleansed. Just like Naaman's leprosy was cleansed away from him, so your sin can be cleansed away from you today if you'll come to Jesus Christ, if you'll follow God's way and have faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You know, if Naaman had have tried any other way, he wouldn't have been healed. Perhaps Naaman thought, well, you know what, I'm going to go down to this prophet Elisha and I'm going to hand him some money. And I'm going to take out my money, and I'm going to pay him maybe. I'm going to just give him all my money. If he had have did that, do you think he would have been cleansed? Nope, because that wasn't God's way. What about if he had have said, well, I'm going to bring you back to my country, and I'm going to elevate you to a great position of power? Nope, he wouldn't have been cleansed, because that wasn't what God had said. And yet there could be people in this room, and you've been trying for years now to pay money, perhaps even to this church, to have your sins removed. And yet that's not what God has told you to do. Perhaps you've been coming here and trying to be a good person. You've been trying to get to heaven by your good works, yet God hasn't said that that's the way that you can be forgiven. You see, there is only one way. One way that we can be forgiven. And that is whenever we put our faith in Jesus Christ. And whenever we have faith in Jesus Christ and we trust Him to be our Savior, it pleases God. And our sins will be removed. You've sat up very well. It's been absolutely excellent. And I want you all to come back tonight. Because tonight we're going to hear about another man and how he found God's way of forgiveness as well. But we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to hand back over to Mr. McRae to close the meeting in a word of prayer.
Thank God for His precious word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness to us. We pray that You'll bless Thy child as he has brought Thy word. We thank Thee as told us very clearly there's only one way to get to heaven, and Jesus is the only way. And so, Lord, I pray that even mums and dads and boys and girls, young people this day, will put their faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Do please remember the service this evening, and remember the boys and girls, 6:30 to be here, and then after the service they'll be going over to have some refreshments across in the complex. God bless you. Thank you for coming, and do come again tonight in the will of the Lord. Amen.